That's when the bridegroom came. That's what that song's about, amen. I tell you, I think it's kind of dark outside. I think it won't be long before we'll hear that trumpet sound. And we'll see the sign of the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great glory. Amen. What a wonderful day that will be. Praise the Lord, that'll be great. Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Exodus, chapter number 8. Exodus chapter number 8, and let's stand together as we read the first 15 verses. Continuing our study through the Word of God brings us tonight to the plague of frogs. I wish you were preaching this tonight. I've never preached on frogs before, but I'm going to tonight. Exodus chapter 8 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, into thine ovens and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come both on thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come upon the land of Egypt. Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, Entreat the Lord, that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. Moses said unto Pharaoh, Glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, Tomorrow. And he said, Be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee and from thy houses and from thy servants and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he'd brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And the frogs died out of the houses, and out of the villages, and out of the fields. They gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart, and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Our Father, bless the reading of your word. Open our minds and our understanding. May we see, our Father, that which the Holy Spirit has for us tonight pertained in this word of God. Feed every soul that's come this way with manna that comes only from above. And God, may it be nourishing to our spirit, that, Father, we might be strengthened in the inward man, that God, as we go out into the world, the rest of this may be seated. Now, as we said, we're going to deal tonight with the plague of the frogs. We talked last week about the plague of the river, the plague of the conversion of the source of life becoming the source of death. We talked about how that the Nile River was the very source of the life of Egypt. If there was not a Nile River, there would not be a successful Egypt. Far as you know, if you looked on any map or seen any films of that place, that it's almost all sand, with the exception that the water of the Nile that flows through that place that brings a little green vegetation and fertile soil there, it would not be a very prosperous land at all, but it would be a very sad place. And that was the very thing that God chose to strike first, the very source of their being, and that in which they placed their confidence first. Now, if your confidence lies in your ability, if it lies in your substance, if it lies in your job, or anything other than God, God wants to straighten that out tonight. God wants to touch that source of your life. And the lesson that God's wanting us to see now, as he moves against Pharaoh, who's hardened his heart, he wants us to see that sin has a spreading effect. It has a multiplying effect in our lives. This plague, if you will, this picture of death and sin and judgment, began in the river. And no doubt after the plagues are done, the people would say, would that God had stayed in the river. But you see, it's not going to. God's going to bring it ever closer to their house. And after that, he's going to bring it ever closer to their body. Why? Neighbor, because God's trying to get their attention. And God knows how to do it, amen. God wants us to see tonight that sin has a spreading, contaminated effect. There was a proverb amongst the people of the days of the minor prophets that said that the fathers have eaten sour grapes and therefore the children's teeth are set on edge. The concept of that proverb was this, that no man sins alone, that whenever he does sin, it affects everybody. Amen. That if you sin, it affects your family, affects your wife, affects your children. And so we need to learn tonight the lesson of the frogs, that neighbor, the plague doesn't just stay in the river. One day it creeps out and it comes to your house. Amen. And so I want us to see, first of all, here in verse 1 and 2, the sovereign request of the prophets. It's interesting to me that as Moses spoke, it was just exactly the same as God spoke. We find in these 15 verses that we read that Moses did as God said. And then toward the latter part, we find that God did as Moses said. Amen. God's prophets have such a relationship with him that, neighbor, they are of one mind and one accord. And whenever they speak, it's just like God speaking. And so, once again, as Moses has done before, he's made many excuses, but those days aren't in operation now. He finally licks some of those things. He goes in just like God had told him, and he gives Pharaoh the message once again of God's will. He says, "Let my people go that they may serve me." Now that's a very short message about God's will, but it's a very difficult message. We can see there that God's will is that his people serve who? Serve him. Now, if it's God's will that God's people serve him, then it's the devil's will to do everything that he can to stop that from happening. Amen? And so there are going to be certain shackles and things that are going to grab hold of your life to detract you from the service of God in order that you'd not serve him. Amen? But God's message and God's will is the same today as it was when Moses preached it here. Let my people go, that they may serve me. Now, God's got the people in a position where they're ready to go. However, there's some things that's hindering them from going, and God's going to take care of that, amen. God's going to take those out of the way. And so, they go into Pharaoh, and they expressed unto them God's perfect will. But not only that, they gave unto them God's warning. For you see, whenever people refused to heed God's word, then there's a price to pay. And God gives them a warning. And we find in the book of Deuteronomy, as the children of Israel passed through those two mountains, going to the land of promise, there were a group of the Levites on one mountain and another group on another mountain. One group shouted the blessings of God for obedience. The other group shouted the cursings of God upon the people for their disobedience. And so, neighbor, God hasn't changed. God blesses obedience and God judges disobedience. And so, with the presentation of God's expressed perfect will, there comes an expression of God's warning, which is this: if you refuse to let my people go, there will be a price to pay. What was the warning? He simply said this: I'm going to send frogs upon the land. Well, I'll bet that just scared Pharaoh to death. Frogs were quite common around the Nile River. Amen? And so he said, frogs? What in the world can a frog do? Huh? Amen? One bee sting hurts, but enough of them can kill you. And one little frog croaking out your window in anticipation of the coming showers may not be obnoxious, but you get a million or so of them out there, and I guarantee you they can become obnoxious. So I figure old Pharaoh here saying, well, boy, ain't that something, huh?
You're going to bring some frogs to see me, are you? Amen. I want to tell you something. What? I believe that in his heart he made light of God's word. Same thing happens every day. Amen. Not only happens in Hollywood, it happens in the church house. People sit, they listen to the word of God, and all they do is laugh at it and say, "Boy, I'm glad I'm not as ignorant as that stupid preacher." That's right. Make light of it. I know. I want to tell you something. When the frogs begin to approach your door, it's a whole different story. And so we see the sovereign request of the prophets. But now what I want you to see is what I call the slimy religion of the people. Why do you call it that, preacher? Because they worship those frogs. Amen. You see, they had a goddess. She was female. And her name was Het. H-E-K-T. Her idol was in the form of a woman's body, but she had a frog's head. Amen. Now, fellas, I don't know about you, but I don't care how good the body was. If it had a frog's head, I'd be kind of turned away by that, wouldn't you? But you see, whenever somebody gets perverted and caught up in sin, it don't make much difference to them, honey. They just worship a frog, a serpent, a body of water. It didn't matter to them, amen. And so they worship the frog goddess Hecht. Now, this frog goddess Hecht was the god of the fertility and blessing of the land and abundant harvest. For you see, whenever the Nile flooded once a year and it made its fertile deposits of soil in the land of Egypt, whenever the waters withdrew, it left little ponds. It left little puddles and places of water. And in those puddles, you see, tadpoles came from the frogs' eggs that were laid, and they began to turn into frogs. And so as the land was planted, in the evenings you could hear the frogs ribbit, ribbit, ribbit. And the Egyptians would sit back and they'd say, "Old Hecht's a blessing our crops. She's a blessing us into doing her job." Amen. And so whenever they heard the croaking of the frog, to them it was a sign of blessing. Amen. It was a sign of blessing. And so they worshipped old Hecht, if you will. She was not only the god of abundant harvest and fertility, but she was also the goddess of the fertility of ladies. You see, if a lady became pregnant, then she praised the goddess Hecht, and she praised Hecht for the safe delivery of a good child. Amen. And so this frog goddess meant quite a deal to these people, and so literally their religion was a slimy religion of frogs. Amen. You say, "Well, boy, I can't imagine people worshiping frogs." Well, I can't imagine folks worshiping some of the things they worship today in America either, but they still do it. It doesn't stop them, amen. They had a slimy religion. Amen. And we're going to find out that their slimy religion is going to affect their body, because God's going to take that which was they thought was a source of blessing and turn it into a source of curse. God's going to take that which they perceived to be a god and turn it into a plague, a judgment upon his own people, Pharaoh's own people. Amen. And this plague, this slimy religion affected their body. Amen. How's that? Well, the Bible said here that whenever these frogs came up out of the Nile, there were so many of them that they went into everybody's house. They went in the palace. They went in the service quarters. They went into the places of work. They went everywhere. Amen. And so no matter where a man stepped, he was stepping on a frog. No matter where a man sat down, he was sitting on a frog. And neighbor, whenever God finally did stop the plague, the Bible said down there that they took the frogs that were dead, there were so many of them, and they piled them in great heaps, and the Bible said the land stank. Now, if you remember, last time we met, when we preached on the last plague, the Bible said the river stank. Now the land's a stinking. Honey, that's what sin does. It heaps stink up. Around everywhere, amen. Wouldn't to God that folks had nose enough to smell it, amen. Everywhere that they looked, they saw frogs. Everywhere that they felt, they saw frogs. Bible said here they even crept into the bedchamber. I can see old Pharaoh said, "Man, Shut the doors, servants. Keep them frogs out of here. He goes to his bedchamber. He gets ready to lay down. Pulls back the covers and sits and lays down that bed and says, "Oh, queen, your feet are cold. Not only that, they're a little bit wet, too. And I wish you'd keep them still." And directly he feels more of them. He says, "I know you ain't got that many feet." He flies out of the bed and looks, and the whole bed's full of frogs. Amen. Amen. You see, that's the way sin is. Sin affects your body. Your body. And because the process appears somewhat slow to us, we don't often catch on to it until it's too late. For you see, the individual that turns up that first bottle of liquor, he thinks that it doesn't have any power over him. Amen? Why, all I take is just a few drinks today. I mean, I'm just a social drinker. And, you know, nobody's become an alcoholic from drinking beer. Hey man, nobody's ever become a dope addict from smoking marijuana. I mean, you know, it's just a little thing. It's just a social activity. But before you know it, it's got your body. And all of a sudden, the man who just took a little few social drinks found out he was an alcoholic. And the person who smoked the marijuana found that he moved on to some harder stuff. And it began to affect his body so that he couldn't even control his body anymore. Amen. Amen. Their slimy religion affect their body. Amen. Bow down and worship the liquor bottle. Bow down at the drugs of this world. Amen. Amen. Bow down to the gods of this world and have your slimy religion. Amen. Do you know, if you were to take a ratio tonight of the people that are church members, they're in the church house, compare it with the people of the world, you'd find out there's more adultery in the church than there is in the world. Amen. You'd find out there's more thieves in the church than there are in the world. Amen. Amen. You find out, honey, that there's some low-down, downright ungodly people in the church. Amen. Amen. Why are they there, preacher? Because they got a slimy religion. Amen. I've pastored churches that had thieves in them. I've pastored churches that had whoremongers in them, that's had harlots in them. Amen.
Amen.
And of course, if you find out about it, it's time for you to go. I know that. But honey, I've lived long enough to see what's going on in this world. Amen. And we've got a slimy religion that doesn't make a difference in us. We got a frog religion. And brother, it's a sad thing. My wife even went to church with a murderer one time. Sang in the choir, went home one night and blew his wife's head off with a gun. Amen. Slimy religion. And so you see, whenever the world looks toward the church and they see the slimy religion of the minority, they say, "Well, I don't want to go down there." Amen. Huh? Now, Paul knew how to deal with the slimy religion. Church of Corinth had a man down there that was living in fornication. Everybody knew about it. Nobody doing nothing about it. Paul said, "What in the world's the matter with you people? I know you come from them ungodly heathen temple, but what's going on in the church is not even done among the heathen." That's what he said. He said, "Don't you know a little leaven leavens the whole lump?" What's he saying? He's saying, honey, that sin don't stay in the river. It crawls out and gets in your house. That's what it does. It affects your body. This church is the body of Christ. And honey, we can't afford no slime religion. Amen. Why? It affects your body. I'll tell you what else. It affected the budget. Amen. I see them folks trying to do their job, trying to work, and the frogs clogging the works, frogs getting in the way, frogs causing people to slip down, man slides down, falls down on another bunch of frogs, smashes their guts out off down his back, the whole joint winds up stinking in just a few hours, can't get anything done, they punch the clock, head back to the house, when they get back to the house, they step on frogs all the way, and when they get inside, the house is full of frogs. Amen. Now God's already ripped a hole in the budget when he turned the river into blood, amen. Now he's working on her a little bit more. Amen. See, a man that worships a dollar's got frog religion. He's got a slimy religion. That's interesting. It's referred to as filthy lucre. Amen. That's right. And many persons kept from serving God because they worship a dollar bill. Amen. I got news for you. God don't need your dollar. Amen. Amen. I don't want anybody's dollar. I've done what I've done for years for nothing. Don't bother me. Amen. God doesn't need your money. And I tell you what, you won't ever see me begging for it, and you won't ever see God begging for it either.
Amen.
You know, when God knows how to take care of your budget. Amen. Had people come to me, their own people fall out with them and say, "You're crazy going down that church and giving that preacher your money." Like the preacher sticks every dime in his pocket. Amen. And I had that said about me when I didn't get a dime for preaching. So that don't make one bit of difference, does it? Amen. Frog religion, it affects your budget. But not only that, it affected their behavior. Boy, it got in their kneading troughs, it got in the oven. Here comes Mama, she opens up the oven, getting ready to make some biscuits, and lo and behold, a flock of frogs in it. Ribbit, ribbit, ribbit. She goes and gets the kneading trough to knead that dough there to make them biscuits, and it's just full of frogs. Can't do a thing. Now, you remember the last plague ended with them on their knees out there in the sand by the river, digging down, trying to find a little bit of water to drink when their lips dried out after 7 days. Now they can't eat unless they like frog legs. But it's going to be hard to cook them, amen? Well, I guess it wouldn't be hard, but it might be hard to clean them if so many of them. Why? Because it has become a plague. Now listen. Here's what I want you to see. They were willing to worship the frogs as long as they was in the river. But when they came out of the river, it was a whole different story. When they came to the house, it was a whole different story. You see, people don't mind going off somewhere and sneaking around, being a little cynical, you see. But they don't want it coming to the house. Amen? They want it in the river. Amen? You see, homosexuality didn't bother anybody as long as it's in California. It's over in the river. I ain't worried about that. Amen? No, it didn't bother anybody when the hippies was out in California and up in New York. But when they flocked in down here. Amen. Didn't bother anybody when the drugs seemed to be a West Coast curse. But boy, now that it's everywhere, folks is upset about it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And you see, Daddy doesn't mind going down to the saloon and drinking him a little bit. But he don't want it coming home. Amen. He'll worship it down there at the local tavern. But he don't want it coming home with him. So he won't bring it home. He's a good daddy. He don't put it in his refrigerator. He never brings it home. But as soon as he comes in, he kisses little Johnny and little Susan. They smell it all over.
That's right.
And they wonder what that odor is. Until one day when they get up bigger in life and they smell it somewhere else. Hey, that's daddy. That's daddy I smell. Well, if daddy did it, it must be the right thing to do. Amen. And then daddy winds up putting his little boy in Sand Hill Hospital.
That's right.
So the frogs came home.
Amen.
You see, the Hollywood lifestyle don't affect as long as it's out there. We can keep it out there. But today we pipe it in our living room.
That's right. Amen. Come on.
Amen.
And we've got to strain it through a strainer to make sure. You bet. Oh, you bet. Amen. So, for years they worshiped the frog. Really? But now, honey, the frogs have come home. And they're outnumbered. And it ain't a pretty sight. It's no longer a blessing. It's become a curse. Now, what's God doing? Remember what I told you last week? God will often take that which you want and give it to you as a part of his judgment.
That's right.
They like frogs. God said, I'll give you frogs. Matter of fact, I'll make you so sick of frogs, you won't ever want to worship Miss Heck again. Amen. What's God doing in these plagues? God is destroying the idolatry of Egypt. He may not get it ultimately out of the Egyptians, but he's trying to get it out of his people. And the people in this world that are caught up in idolatry out here in this world who are not God's people, God can't get it out of them because it's their nature to be idolaters. But it's not God's people's nature to be idolaters, but God's got to try to fight it off anyway.
Amen.
Why? Because we have never seen God like we ought to see him. Amen. And so we'll worship the frogs as long as they're in the river. But God says you like them, I'm going to fill your nostrils full of them. Now turn to the book of Numbers. Next book after Exodus is Leviticus, and then you'll come to the book of Numbers, chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Now let me tell you what happened. When God brings the children of Israel out of Egypt, he's going to feed them miraculously in the wilderness. He's going to give them what the Bible calls manna, M-A-N-N-A. And the book of Psalms calls manna angels' food. And it was good for a while. But then all of a sudden the children of Israel begin to remember back about Egypt and the garlic and the leeks and the melons and the onions that were back there. And you know what they said? They said, my soul loathes this light bread. You wondered where that term came from, light bread. It's what we called it when I was a kid. We have any light bread? That's what we called it. And that's where it came from. They said, we're sick of this light bread. You know what they said? I want some flesh. I want some meat. And they began to murmur. Numbers 11, listen. And when the people, verse 1, complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. He heard it. And what did it do to him? His anger was kindled and fire burned among the people. Griping, moaning, groaning, complaining, bellyaching, crying, mourning, blaming everybody else for everything that goes wrong. Sounds just like the local assembly, don't it? God says, you want some flesh? He said, I'll give you some flesh. He sent quail in that place. They didn't just eat it a day. They didn't just eat it a day or two. They ate it a whole month. Look in verse number 19. He said, ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month until it comes out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, crying, why came we forth out of the land of Egypt? Boy, ain't that something? Don't that remind you of this crowd today?
Amen.
Amen. You know what that Bible is called? It's called the bread.
Amen.
Jesus said, your fathers that ate manna in the wilderness, they weren't really eating that bread. He said, I'm the bread that's coming down from heaven. I want you to know that. He said, you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Oh, that bread wasn't enough. Amen. They wanted some flesh. Why? Because man's in love with the flesh.
Amen.
He's in love with the flesh. And God said, you want some flesh? He said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. The only way I'll ever break you from sucking eggs is to so stuff you with them till you get sick of them.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And you know what? There's a lot of folks today that are just as saved as anybody else. But honey, they are so babyish and so carnal and always desiring flesh that God's only way of winning them is to giving them so much in life until one day they come to the point and realize that there is absolutely nothing in all this they have pursued for decades. And finally they're just sick of it. They look back and they say, I've wasted my whole life in pursuit of the wrong things. And I knew better because I was a child of God. I'm talking reality here. I tried to talk to somebody the other day. I said, can't you see? You think you're serving God? Can't you examine? Can't you look at your own life and see what has happened to it and realize that what you've done obviously has not been done in the Spirit for God, but it's been done in the flesh? God's people that aren't going to serve God, some of the most miserable, sickening people you ever want to be around. Amen. God said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just stuff you so full of it, it'll run out your cotton picking nose. Then you'll get sick of it, and then it'll become loathsome to you. You'll be glad to get a hold of a little manna from heaven whenever she drops down on that thing. Amen. And so, honey, I don't beg people to serve God. You know what I tell them, and perhaps it's reflected here. Get out there and get all you can grab. That's what I tell them. First thing is start complaining about me. What they're really saying is, you know, it bothers me to come to church because you preach on some things that I do. You know, and I don't want to quit doing them. Preacher, you preach on, I want you to teach on Halloween. We got to teach those kids the evil of Halloween. But you better not touch Mardi Gras. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. And if you do, well, who you think is going to go, the Mardi Gras or the preacher? The preacher's going to go. Amen. Get out there and stuff their cotton picking nostrils full of it. And wonder why they're miserable. They got a slimy religion. And honey, one of these days they're going to get sick of it. They're going to look back and see that they wasted their life. Yeah, thank God they got saved by God's grace. And God spent years, the Holy Spirit wooing them, God disciplining and chastising them and overstuffing them with flesh and frogs. Till finally one day they couldn't fight no more, nor go no further. They said, man, I'm tired of this. I'll never forget one time we had a revival. And I had come to a church that I was worried about one man. I said, I believe that man might give me trouble when I come to this church. We had a revival there. A man preached. And boy, early one morning I just got out of bed. That old man came to the trailer where we were at. He sat down on the couch and he began to weep. Tears run down his old face. And he said, preacher, the problem in this church for years has been me. He said, I've been part of the problem. And he said, I'm never going to do it again. I'm through. Those people, when that devil's crowd got ready to vote me out, they were ready to tear my body to pieces when I went out the door. He just pulled a baseball bat out from behind his back seat. And he said, if you touch him, I'll lay your brains upside the wall. Amen. That don't happen in the house. Sure it does. If you ever want to try to do anything for God, sure it happens. Amen. Amen. You just preach on slimy religion, frog religion, and you'll find out what I'm talking about. Amen. Amen. He said, preacher, all my life I've been a part of the problem in this church. And he wept and he repented that morning. And buddy, he was a changed man after that. Why? He got enough of the flesh and the frogs. And he got a vision of what God can do. Amen. Boy, that was worth all the hell I went through for that one man.
Amen.
It was worth it all to see that. And he died a man happy in the will of God. Amen. So, that's what I call the slimy religion of the people. But now I want you to see what I call the satanic remedy of the priest. Oh, the devil's always got an answer for you. Amen. Sure he does. You just say what you want to say long enough and you'll find a devil that will agree with you. Amen. You see, people say, preacher, I want to counsel with you. They don't really want to counsel with you. They want you to agree with what they believe and what they're doing in order they might feel better about what they're doing because they really don't feel good about what they're doing right now. Amen. Amen. Go to the psychiatrist. Psychiatrist, please tell me that what I'm doing is normal and nice. And then I'll feel better about it. Amen. And so they had a remedy, all right? Look in verse 7. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land. Moses, we can do that. They brought up a few frogs. Now, I don't know how they could tell if the place is already scattered with them. But let me ask you something. What good did that do? What good did that do? All it did was add to the problem. Now, if they'd have just taken the frogs away, then it would have been the same solution. But they couldn't do anything. All it did was add to the problem. They brought up more frogs. That makes a whole lot of sense. But that's exactly what the devil does. Amen. You see, he doesn't have the power to even stop the wickedness and the evil that he starts. He can't even slow it up. Amen. He can't even, he sure can't slow up whatever God does. Paul said in 2 Timothy, he said, evil men and seducers are waxed worse and worse. Honey, folks ain't going to get better. They're going to get worse. America ain't going to get no better just because Republicans are in there, honey. It's going to get worse. And this last day we're living in is not going to end in a revival. Not what the Bible says. The Bible said that day shall not come except there come a falling away. Amen. First. I don't care what TBN and the rest of that crowd has to say. Honey, we ain't going to end in revival. We're going to end in apostasy, religious apostasy. Amen. Slimy frog religion. And the only revival that's going to come will be after the church is gone, when God turns her back over to the Jews. Then we'll see a wind blow like she did on Pentecost. Amen. Oh, I could preach on that for hours, but I know that the sun's running. First thing we see is a diluted exercise. They produced frogs through their sorcery. Amen. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 18 talks about their sorceries they're going to do. Amen. And all the miracles that they're going to do by sorceries. You know the devil can do miracles? We better read that. I know we're in a hurry. We better read it. Revelation chapter 9. Let's look right quick. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 21. After God, he's sending plagues just like he's sending here in Egypt. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 21. Listen, the Bible says, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So during this period of plague, during this great tribulation period, there's going to be sorcerers just like there is right here in Egypt. Amen? You see that? Now flip over to the book of Revelation, chapter 18. What are they going to do with these sorceries? Revelation 18. Talking about Babylon, the source of this frog religion. Verse number 23. Not physical Babylon over there in Iraq, but mystery Babylon. Verse 23, chapter 18. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, and by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Amen. The Bible said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that the world's going to believe a lie. Why? Because of the sorceries that the last day religion is going to send forth. Amen. And so what did the religion of Jannes and Jambres do? Honey, all it did was add to the problem. Because what they did by demonic energy. And demonic energy can't ever reverse what God does. Amen. God ever saved you and put His Spirit in you, honey. There ain't no demonic spirit going to be able to stay in there with Him. Amen. Why? Because Jesus said a man can't take another man's house until he first binds a strong man. And whenever Jesus came, you know what He did in the wilderness? He bound the strong man. He defeated him and He come in and took over. Amen. And I want to tell you, there ain't no demon can come in there and outdo the Holy Ghost of God. They accomplished what they did, not by the power of God, but by the power of demons. Now, same thing will happen in the last days. I want you to look in the book of Revelation, right where we were, chapter 16. Revelation 16 and verse 13 and 14. Listen to this. The Bible talks about a false prophet, a false preacher, great religious man in the last days. It talks about a great political leader who will draw up a union together. And let me tell you where they get their strength and their power. Revelation 16, verse 13. He said, and I saw three unclean spirits like what? Frogs. Come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now listen. For they, what? The frogs are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them together to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. How are they able to do the miraculous things that they're going to be able to do whenever they come by demonic spirits. Amen. Jesus went over to the coast of the Gadarenes. Maybe there was a man that was full of the demons. And the Bible said that he was so strong they tried to bind him with fetters and chains. And he just broke them in pieces. Honey, that's power. But it can't reverse what God's doing. All it can do is aggravate and add to the problem. And so, neighbor, the devil is going to give you an answer to your problem. He's going to give you a solution. He's going to give you grand advice. But all it's going to do is add to the problem, and that's all. Amen? Huh? Best thing to do is go to God and say, God, I got a plague in my life, and man, I need some holy power to take care of it. Amen? Amen. They didn't have any answers. Amen. Where are you going for your answers? Everywhere but right here. That's where we're going. Amen. I tell you, that's what we need. Now, I want you to look at the sudden realization of Pharaoh in verse number 8. Then, after his own magicians got done. Now, wouldn't you think that if he had so much confidence in all this frog worship and all of this sorcery, that after it was done, he'd have been happy when in house? But no, whenever he saw his own magicians, all they could do was bring forth frogs. Look what he said in verse 8. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. Aha! Now Pharaoh has suddenly been made aware of three things. First of all, he's been made aware of the person of Jehovah. Look at the word here, Lord, capital L, small cap O-R-D, Jehovah. Chapter 5 and verse number 2, he said, who is Jehovah that I should listen to his voice? Who is Jehovah that I should obey him? Honey, he knows who he is now. He knows who he is now, therefore he is without excuse. Amen. Who is the Lord? I'll tell you who he is, Moses and Aaron. You go talk to him and treat him for me, that he take away the frogs, because my magicians can't take away the frogs. I can't get rid of the frogs. Only one that can is Jehovah. He's the one that sent him. Go tell him to take them away. He knew about the person of Jehovah. He knew about the power of Jehovah. He said, Moses, you go talk to God. And he knew about the presence of an intercessor. There's only one person around that could get a hold of God. You know who it was? The folks that had already been spending time with God. Amen. That's right. Well, we come to church to pray, but we ought to come to church already having prayed. And the people that do right in the church are the people that's already spent time with God. Because all we come here for anyway, my friend, is to worship God in spirit and in truth. And to adore him, amen. So we don't wait till we get to church to get right with God, amen. Now if God shows you something during the church service, just get right then, amen. Amen. And he said, listen, I know who God is now, Moses, and I know he's got the power. You go talk to him and tell him to take away these miserable cotton-picking frogs. Amen. He had a divine revelation. You see, that's what the judgment of God does. Yes. You see, people say, they use God's name in vain on the television. Every other commercial, amen. I mean, it's getting worse and worse. On the job, you're constantly in a battle trying to get folks to keep a civil tongue, even whenever there's rules written toward those issues. Why, man's sinful nature just breaks forth on him like leprosy, and you're constantly in a battle against those things in the environment that you try to live in. And they say, under their breath, who is God? You ignorant fool. One of these days, the Bible said they're going to stand before him and they won't have any problem then. Amen. You know, I'm going to tell you why? Because they all will have been looking judgment straight in the face. You can run your head and be mighty big and mighty brave right now while you sleep in a nice soft bed with an air conditioner and a central heater blowing on you. But honey, whenever the bad time comes, we're going to find out who's made of what. Amen. Amen. And if the little shakes blow you away, what are you going to do when the big crack comes? You're not going to make it, honey. You better get anchored down right now. He said, I know who Jehovah is now.
Talk to him for me, Moses. But then finally I want you to see his stubborn reaction. What did the Bible say in the last part? But when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them. He continues his incessant deception. He said, you go get rid of the frogs and I'll let the people go. Amen. God got rid of the frogs. They heaped them up. Pharaoh says, I ain't letting them go. He's a liar, ain't he? Bible said the devil was a liar in the very beginning. Amen. He's still a liar today. Bless the Lord. Who can you trust today? Who can you really trust? It's hard to find a real friend anymore. Somebody that'll stick with you in good times and bad times, when you agree and when you disagree. Amen. Because the world's so full of liars. 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 Practically everything you see on the television's a lie. Are you tired of the phony psychic networks? Call us. We are the real, authentic psychic network. We won't tell you foolish, stupid, ignorant stuff. We'll tell you the real thing. Sure. Liar. Liar. Amen. You only go around once, so go for the gusto. That's true. You only go around once, but it's for eternity. Liar. Deceiver. And then we see his insane delay. Now, this is crazy. Listen. Verse number 9. Moses said to Pharaoh, glory over me, and I'll entreat for thee and for the servant, for the people, to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, and that they remain only in the river, back where you used to worship them. And he said, when do you want me to get rid of them? And Pharaoh said in verse 10, tomorrow. What would any normal thinking, rational person have said? Get rid of them right now. Moses, I don't know where you got to go, what you got to do, but you go do it right now, just as fast as you can. Instead, Pharaoh, squishing in the frog goo, says, tomorrow? Tomorrow? Why did he say that? Why did he say that? He still had hopes that some way, somehow, they could overcome the power of God, get rid of those frogs. And he'd not have to honor what he said about God to start with. Which he wasn't going to do no way. But he thought some way, somehow, he could come out of this with his pride intact. Huh? And so, Pharaoh said to Moses, give me one more night with the frog. Old George Harper, dead preacher, gone on. Good preacher. Country preacher. Had a message he preached one time. It was called, One More Night with the Frogs. You may remember it, Miss Jackie. Just one more night with the frogs. Amen. How many more nights is it going to take for you to get rid of your slimy religion? You know, I never will forget. My partner's coming in, drunk out of the brains, bent over a commode, throwing their guts out. And they'd always say, never again. Never again. But then come next weekend, had a little money. Or maybe one more time. Maybe just one more night with the frogs. You see, because my luck may turn. Things may get better. Amen? See, God, I know what I ought to do. I know what I ought to do, God, because you got a Holy Spirit that has a very clear, distinct voice. And I know what I ought to do. But maybe things will get better. Maybe things will change. You know, and I won't have to commit myself to you. And that's really what it is, bottom line. I want just enough of you, God, to get me into heaven. And God, please just let me know how little I can do and still get there. But I really don't want to commit my whole being to you. That's
Amen. Why? Because you're unthankful. You don't appreciate what God did for you. And that's the only reason. And so Romans chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3 say the same thing. They say that the people of both those days, the antediluvian days and the last days, would be characterized by unthankful people. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And they would have a slimy religion of worshiping frogs. But you must remember one thing in the midst of your frog worship. One of these days they're coming out of the river in an innumerable horde, and they're going to come into your house and they're going to destroy it. When that happens, you will wish that you serve God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your being. Because you ain't going to be able to do it for God.
Amen, that's right.
God said this unto the tribe that refused to cross the river. He said, I want you to know something. If you don't go over there and fight for God and for your brothers, be sure of one thing. Your sin will find you out.
Amen.
Your sin will find you out. And your frogs will creep in. Now we're busy today like a cat, digging holes to bury our misses in here, to cover things up in the church. And what we really ought to do is lay it out here for
you.
You say, God, I've been in the midst of this slam long enough. I'm going to get out of it. I'm going to get out of it. And honey, whenever you get out of it, ain't nobody going to have to beg you to go to church. Ain't nobody going to beg you to have to beg you to read the Word of God. Ain't nobody going to have to beg you to do right. Maybe you want the woman to do right.
Amen.
And would to God, that's where this whole church will get to.
Amen.
Because I'm going to tell you, there'll never be a difference here until this church as a body commits itself to that reality. That's true. We'll be happy. We'll do fine until the Lord comes. But when we stand before God, we're going to hear croaking in our pockets. Really? What's that? That's a frog crept in my house that I didn't treat the Lord to get rid of. So you ain't going to get no better. You are not going to get any better. The only way you'll get any better is to come up here and confess to God and say, God, I ain't no good, and you know that better than I do. Now, God, you take this old vessel of clay that ain't worth much. I give it to you, and you do whatever you want to do with it.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Can you get to that point, God, and never call you to preach? God's not ever going to use you or call you to do anything, honey, until you get totally sold out.
That's right.
The rest of it, and go back to the river. And I'm going along with God.
Amen.
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 You're a singer. You ain't sold out to God, but you're an entertainer. You ain't singing for the glory of God.
Amen.
The Bible said, what do you eat? Or what do you drink? And that's the basic thing you can do. You do it all for the glory of God.
Amen.
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 Amen. We got enough of it.
Amen.
I'm ready to see God.
Amen.
But what do you do, preacher? Listen to God, get the frog out.
Amen.
Put him back in the river with it long. Get rid of our slimy religion. Our fault. We love you. We thank you, God.
One day you reached down in the muck and mire, got in the pit wherein I was trapped. You lifted me up, set me upon a sure, solid foundation. God, I didn't have anything to do with it. And God, slowly but surely, you begin to send the frogs that were in my life back to the river. I know, God, I'm not perfect today. Oh, God, I'm so far away from the river that I used to swim in. God, I thank you for it. I realize that there's nothing I can brag about tonight except for Jesus. But I'd sure like to brag about him. He's done so much for me. God, I've really done so little for him. Far as the world's concerned, I've been a fool, and I've been a sucker. But I've done the best, and I really haven't managed to hold mine. But God, it's sure been good to know that I've been right where you want me to be. But when the Nile began to swell, the frogs began to grow, I wasn't worried too much about what they could do. Because I knew that the devil couldn't do anything. May we follow this time
who have gathered here together, totally commit our bodies to you, a living sacrifice, to be accepted by you, be used in this last hour in which we live, before all the demons of that dark, bottomless pit are released upon this world. Father, what you do with us and through us, we'll have to stand and thank you, give you the praise throughout eternity. And as for Jesus' sake, we ask you that he might know about it. And it is. Amen. Amen. You musicians come.